what you waiting on? Check checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands show. Turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fast, only. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. You book at me every Monday after kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Belly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Belly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony. Go BBS Radio.
We're back here another week of the Tony Sands Show. Listen, we've been to get into this show like no other. It is draft. Listen, we're coming up on the draft. Everything right now is excited. Everything is getting ready to look at how we're going to play things out in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But they got a draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Who really wants to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin for an NFL draft? There's nothing to do there. They're going to take – now, I'm going to tell you. It's going to be exciting when it comes to being crowded. That is not going to be an issue because there's nothing to do in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But our show tonight, we're going to be talking about the potential draft picks of the Dallas Cowboys. And some of our Cowboy favorites, Hall of Famers, are going to be joining the show. Michael Irvin, Nate Newton, Charles Haley are going to be joining right here on the Tony Sands Show. We're going to break down who we think the Dallas Cowboys should pick. Is it need? Over at the best available, do Shedeur Sanders drop into the Dallas Cowboys lap? But do we say, no, we can't get a quarterback because we paid Dak Prescott so much money? We've given him money, but haven't been able to get the results. We've made changes in coaching. We've made changes in not bringing enough in, I think, to make the Dallas Cowboys a team that's saying they're getting ready to compete for the Super Bowl, for a Super Bowl. But you know, I'm wondering how that's going to play out. Is this an experiment? And I'm going to ask my fellow Cowboyans, is this an experiment with Brian Schottenheimer that we've done here? We got rid of Al Harris and we bought in David Overstreet II. We got rid of McCartney and we brought in Brian Schottenheimer. Have we elevated our coaching pool? I don't see it. A lot of people are saying, is this an experiment? How will this experiment play out? We look at what we could have gotten over the offseason. We look at how Philadelphia upgraded their running attack and it took them all the way to the Super Bowl. And they won it. When you do upgrades, things happen. The Cowboys refused to do upgrades. We didn't do any upgrading during the offseason, and we saw how that affected us during the season. Now, we haven't won a Super Bowl in some decades. Can we get back to that? Now, before we go, listen, without further ado, before we bring the playmaker on, we're going to play that highlight for him, and then we're going to bring the playmaker on. We're going to dive right into this. Because I know this hour is not going to go. It's going to go fast. Let's get him on. Thomas, play the highlight tape and let's roll with Brandon Playmaker on in and let him do one of his favorite routes, the Bang Gate, before we bring him on. Let's go.
Gain weight. Now he's lost weight and he's healthy. And here's Aikman going deep. He's got somebody open. Touchdown, Aikman.
Dallas at the 39. Aikman to throw. Deep left. Got his man at the 40, and he's breaking away. Michael Irvin to the 20. It's a foot race to the 5. It is a 61-yard touchdown.
Down to two plays, maybe. Touchdown, Irvin. Now they have a chance to tie it.
Oh, the Steelers send 4 on a stunt. He's throwing it over the middle. Caught, and breaking away to the 10 is Irvin to the 5. Touchdown, Michael Irvin.
Here comes the Eagle blitz against Wade Wilson, who's going deep. Flag on the play. The pass is caught by Michael Irvin.
Further ado, Welcome to the show, the playmaker himself, Michael Irvin, three-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer. Welcome to the Tony Sands Show, my brother. What's going on?
See, what's up, my brother? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm excited, man. I'm having fun. I'm just enjoying life at its fullest, man. Just enjoying the football season, what's coming up and what's going to be coming up and where things are going to go. And are we going to make some big moves with the Cowboys to get us where we need to go, man, is going to be the question, because that's the question that everybody is asking about our Cowboys. How is the Cowboys going? And that's always the subject on all shows. What is the Cowboys doing?
But, well, everybody knows this is a this will be an interesting year coming off the down year they had last year. Now you try to say, okay, what direction is it? Is this genius? Or is this, it was this crazy for Jerry to give this guy the shot of being the head coach for the Dallas Cowboys? And that's the question that everybody's asking. That's the question that everybody needs to know and wants to know, because, you know, hey, Coach Schottenheimer, and I still have, and I want to get a chance to go and sit down and talk with him. I haven't had that chance. Is getting a great opportunity. He's been around the league a long time. When you talk to the players, they really like him. They believe in him. Now it's time for them to back him.
Exactly.
They stamped this hire. So, okay, now it's time to back this hire. And the only way you can back this hire is the way you play on that football field on come game day Sunday. But tell me this. But right around here in Dallas, right? I'm in Dallas now. Matter of fact, I'll be heading down to Miami for the Miami, you know, the scrimmage they got Saturday, Legends scrimmage that Saturday. You know, they want me, I got to do an appearance over there, so I'll come through there. But what we in Dallas right now, what you're dealing with is we just had Luka here last night, and we watched Luka cry. So we in pain over here. We in pain after seeing the love Luka had for us through his tears.
Tears, correct.
It was that mean, oh, that thing, right, you reciprocating what we had for you. You see what I'm saying? It's real, man. So, yeah, we dealing with that right here. Oh, we dealing with it a little bit. That's what we're dealing with here. And we can't come off this kind of pain, the Luka pain, and go back into more pain with a bad Cowboys season. That's why this is imperative for the whole mindset of Cowboys Nation and really the city of Dallas, how this season plays out.
And Mike, you talked about Brian Schottenheimer. Did you see this? And like you say, the players stamp their stamp on Brian Schottenheimer. But I knew Brian. I had the pleasure of coaching when I was coaching at the University of Kansas, when Brian was a quarterback at University of Kansas before he left Kansas and transferred out. But do you see this as something where these guys are saying, okay, we didn't want McCartney. We not only did we lose McCartney, we lost Al Harris that was in control of that secondary. Is this move with Brian Schottenheimer, is this an experiment that Jerry has put together and hoping that he throws something on the wall and it sticks? Because if this experiment does not work, after we had an opportunity to dib and dab and speak with Deion Sanders and we didn't get him, we're going to be in some trouble if this doesn't work.
It'll be an interesting situation, Tony, to see that, especially with where the patients are. It's not that, this thing's not just about winning. It's about winning a championship, or getting far enough. And the people out here have started this mantra, been 30 years, even before it got to be 30 years. So,
yes.
So and now, you know, so it's all people are hearing. And it almost drowns out what all has come before that, the greatness that has come before that, the noise that has been 30 years, drowns out some of that greatness. That's why it is, I think, at critical levels. And the Cowboys got to try to do something to get something done. You know, and that's why I think even for this draft, you know, people talking about running backs and wide receivers, because we're not talking about just building a team. We're talking about giving hope again. And though the Cowboys need offensive linemen, defensive linemen, when you draft those guys, there is no hope coming with that. If you go get an Ashton Jeanty, if you go get a big time Tectory McMillan, a big time playmaker, that brings hope to the whole region. And I always say, hope will dictate effort. You give me more hope, everybody gives more effort. You give me less hope, everybody gives less effort. We got to find some hope around here that says this ain't going to be all the time.
And Mike, we also joined on the show with Charles Haley and Nate Newton. Let's bring them. Thomas, let's bring everybody in. What's up, Charles?
What's up,
my brother? How y'all doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Tony. What's up?
Man, I can't complain. I'm loving life. We're trying to see how can, you know, my goodness continue to be good if we're going to make the right moves with the Dallas Cowboys, because this offseason we thought we was going to make a good move by possibly if we could have got Prime in it, but, you know, Prime has gotten him a $54 million deal, so I don't know if this experiment doesn't work. Can we go back to Colorado and grab him up out of there? But right now we got to get ready to look. We're looking for the draft, and what kind of moves do you think we're going to be able to make in this upcoming draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Those guys, though, Tony, and the reason it's so good to have Nate and Charles on, because these guys here, they see some of the everyday grind. Now, you know, Nate and them knows what we have. And I just talked about guys, Nate, Charles. I talked about the Cowboys needing some hope. And usually that hope comes in the form of a wide receiver or a DB, stuff like that. But the Cowboys, and I want Nate, you start first. But give me an assessment of where you think that offensive line is right now. And Chucky, you around those guys, you give me an assessment where you think that defensive line is right now. And if they need help, and get some help in the draft, you know, because you guys over there all the time dealing with the guys.
They need help in the draft, but right now you can't. You've given a lot of attention to your first-round pick in Tyler Guyton last year, and he had a so-so year. He was not consistent in who he was, who they thought he could be to project him to be the first-round pick where he was. He did not live up to that standard. You had a lot of inaccuracies with guys getting hurt. We lost Martin to injury, and before that, he was declining in play. So right now, this offensive line is a C+. If I can just judge it as it is, they went out and got a new offensive line coach and a guy named Connor Riley, I think his name is. They got him from the Cardinals. He's supposed to be one of the genius technique workaholic type guys that can scheme up any type guys once he has a look at them. So right now, I'm with you. You cannot say right now, hey, we need an offensive line or we need a defensive lineman, even though that's more along with how I live. You know, I think you build from the inside out. But at this point, you cannot say that because the Cowboys need position play and help at every position. So you have to stick with what you got. You got Austin Richards. You got Shadeek Charles, who they just signed today. They got Dakota Shipley they signed. You got Robert Jones they signed. So, but the starters are Tyler Guyton, Tyler Smith, should be Cooper Beebe, Brock Hoffman, and Terrence Steele. I think the strength, if we can say we have a strength at this time, it's just center and two guards. I think those are the three guys that give you a strength, even though when you're dealing with Philadelphia or the Washington Commanders, you're going up against some very dominating players. So we do need that hope, Mike. And whoever they draft in that first round, I hope they can bring that hope.
Now, and like you said, we're drafting at the 12th pick. If we were on the clock, we was on the clock right now, in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and we know we need help at the running back position also. We know Jeanty is not going to drop to that number 12 spot. So if we're looking at running back, I was looking at Hampton out of North Carolina to help solidify that running game that we've been so dying for, that we've lost for years, that have helped the Dallas Cowboys get to where they're at. But is the offensive line more of a need than that running back position?
No, I believe the running back, and let me tell you why, is the important thing. But let me just say something about this running back. And everybody is keep talking about the first running back, Genty, and then all the other running backs. Now, I'm not saying those guys aren't going to be great, but what I saw, there's a running back, and then that's the dude that you want running as your back. I've plenty of running backs. I've seen plenty of running backs. We've all seen. I saw the Tim Flagler. All them guys come through, and that thing didn't click until we saw Emmitt. That's the dude that I want running as my back. A lot of running backs, but that's the dude I want running, and that's the way I see Genty. The rest of these guys, good running backs, but that's the dude I want running as my back, because I think he's that difference maker, and everybody's not a difference maker. And he's a guy that I believe can take an offensive line and even make it better. You know what I mean? To take an offensive line and make it better. That's why I see that. Charles, what do you see when you go over there? Your job has been to defend that run and the thing. What you see as a player, what would you be saying to yourself if you were getting ready to go up against our Cowboys?
Well, like Nate said, he hit it on the nail. The guys that you saw, Steele and Martin, they had that worst year ever. The left tackle, his technique wasn't that good. He got great feet and stuff, but at some point, you got to say, this is my house, and ain't nobody gonna step in and destroy it, And it's about the attitude. It's not you could be less talented, but if you got the attitude to win,
right.
You just ain't gonna let people just walk on you, And for me, they want to talk about how great they are, how good they are, but you don't see it, Words are cheap. And as a defensive line, last year as a defensive line, they were old, man. They went and got all these 10, 12-year vets. Hey, you can't – once you get institutionalized at another organization playing a different type of defense, it's hard to change. So I'm glad that they're going to go get a lot of youth, because that's what they need on the defensive line. They need some speed, some quickness, and people with attitude.
Yes. Because like I said, I haven't seen that. And I guess I was around you guys with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not seeing that same type of attitude, that same type of nastiness out of what we consider our new Cowboys. I'm not seeing it, and we're wondering why we're not seeing it. We're not getting the results that we're not getting. So that's why I'm saying, when we look at the running back position, that's going to be, to me, a key if we're trying to alleviate some of the pressure off of Dak Prescott. But if we elevate some positions on the line that if you're lacking, a great running back can help alleviate a lot of that pressure. So with, like I say, in that first round, that number 12 pick, unless we're going to make some moves to go up to get Genty, Mike, the second best running back on the board is going to be Hampton. We got to make some moves.
But listen to the dichotomy there, though, Tony. Listen to that dichotomy you're saying. But now we got to make a move to go up and get Genty instead of 12. Wait a minute. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to take this another way, but we got to make up our mind. Are we saying now that running backs are this valuable and we devalue them so much in the money category? Oh, so I'm saying, all of them people that said running backs aren't all of that, I'm hoping that they stick to their shit and pass right on by Genty. That's what I've been hoping. You see what I mean? Nobody's going to drive the running back up there
They don't want to pay the running backs we got in the game, but then it just that part trips me out. That part
but Mike Philly, but Philly helped that. But Philly helped that call when they right. got when they Philly, went and got Saquon Barkley. Yes,
it gave right. It's about passing. It's not about running. Okay, this is a passing league. We need to be able to have receivers out there that, you know, big receivers where they can go up and get the 50-50 ball. Hey, we need some speed. Hey, you know, the offensive line, hey, you know what? I just believe that if they want to win, it's going to be through the receivers. They got to get some receivers that can stretch the field. And they don't have that. And you know, so if that's on that, then you know, I tell Jerry this. I said, Jerry, you know what the formula is. You had Emmitt Smith, you had Michael and Alvin, two big receivers out there, and you had a tight end. I said, then hey, guess what? You went and got some big offensive linemen that was nasty.
Yes.
Hey, the best defense is a great offense.
Right. Charles, I've been saying that same thing, Chuckie. And Chuckie, but let me ask you, I think you hit something. What do you hit something, though? And I want to ask you guys, both of you guys, because y'all around the locker room. And there were 3 years running right there when we had the best offense, one of the best offense. And we could never get that far. Now, what Charles just talked about, when he talked about teams working together in defense, and you ain't got to get the best players, you just got to want it more, and everybody got to work together. All of this is leaking out now about the DeMarcus Lawrence and Michael Parsons situation now.
Yes.
I always heard something about it prior to anyway. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm just trying to say now is, looking back, can you guys see where there was a problem with this, where there was a problem between those guys? That's why their defense didn't perform when we did have the top number one offense. Well, all the top offense in the league and opportunity when we kept getting to the playoffs. I never knew that those guys had that kind of issue between them two. And if defense is about want to and rallying together, how much better should that defense be since we don't have that divisiveness or that departing now?
Charles, you can answer that, because my thing is this right here.
Let me tell you. Mike,
what's that, Nate?
Hey, you know how these players talk to each other? Hey, they talk to each other through the media. They sit there, don't say nothing to one another. And all they do is get high. Everybody in the locker room high, man. What the fuck? It ain't no you know what? There's no teamwork. I don't know what team – I don't know if they can understand what team means. That's my whole problem. Hey, I never see them, man, just, you know, small talk is nothing, man. They either on that phone or on that phone. They ain't doing no extra nothing. No extra running, no extra skills work, no extra nothing. Nothing. They wait to 5 minutes before practice, then they run out on the field. And then be the first one off the field and wonder why they can't win.
And Charles, I'm with you. Now, tell me this. Is a Brian Schottenheimer.
Everybody going to say, what the hell do you mean these people are in the high? Everybody going to say that. What did Chuckie mean?
This is what I'm saying. Is Brian going to be able to control this locker room? Is he the guy that can be able to control the locker room? Because we got a lot of big name guys, and can Brian control? That's why I say, that's why I mentioned, is this an experiment that we're going, that got to go right? Because if it doesn't, what we could have gotten is going to backfire on the Cowboys. And how long our Cowboy faithfuls are going to be able to stay with the Cowboys?
Tony.
What's up, Chuck?
Head coaches since Jimmy, since Parcells, there's been no coach that has controlled the locker room. Our locker room is controlled by committee. Mr. Jones, Stephen Jones, and the head coach. That is how the locker room is controlled. It's no disrespect to Mr. Schottenheimer. The way he was brought in by osmosis, it was, I thought, was did not add up. He either qualified to do this job and to command respect and to put these players in the position to be the best they can, or he's just going to be another guy that's there for 2 years, setting it up for a more dominating coach to come in. Or he's going to be successful, and I'm going to say, wow, I was truly wrong when I talked to you guys a few months ago.
Well, that's my name, though. That's why I go back to, if we're not going to be equally talented physically, if we're not going to have equally talented skill of the other teams, then we got to have a better collective will than the other team. So that's why I was talking about the closeness matter. That's the way a team with less talent wins against a team with more talent, because we are more connected.
Mike, it's still about the players. And the best thing ever happened to us, and I said everywhere I go, the thing that happened to us on offense is we had Mike. We had Michael Irvin. We had Emmitt Smith. We had Troy Aikman. But we had Michael, who, when we started falling apart, brought us together. When we got Charles Haley on defense, we went from a 15th-ranked defense to a top-5, back-to-back number one. It takes players to control your locker room. They do not have the right players to control their locker room. First of all, you got to have players. And then you find that player with the will. You was a player, Mike, with will. Charles was ran out of the 49ers camp because he had too much will. Okay?
Right.
It still come down to players and will.
And I don't, I'm with Nate. I don't, when I'm watching it, I don't see that will. It's like they're waiting on someone to have that will, and that person is not stepping up. It's like, okay, I'm gonna step back. You do it. No, you do it. I watched the video of Troy when Troy was one time, he was on a rant on the sideline, and they showed Troy, and then they showed Dak on the sideline, and I didn't see that same like, come on, man, get y'all together. We gotta go. This is, I'm tired of you being nice. Let's go. I don't see that.
Tony, let me tell you two stories right quick. Like, won't even take long. I remember one time we was playing against Washington Redskins early in Mike's career. Darryl Green was covering him one-on-one as a rookie. I remember Mike came into the huddle and told Troy, I know he's an all-pro. Throw me the damn ball. And we came back and won that game. I remember us going into the NFC Championship game. Nobody believed in us, but all week long, Charles Haley said, I'm going to bring the heat to Wallace. I'm going to bust this guy up. When the game started, Charles bust him up. You get what I'm trying to say here? It comes down to players, and it comes down to players dominating in the biggest of games. You tell me which game some of these guys that run their mouth have taken over when we played Philadelphia, have taken over when we played the 49ers. That will has to come up when you are matched with equal ability and skills. Now, we talk about Mike Irvin love to say, I love the guy that can play above the neck. Where's these guys at that got heart and can play above the neck? And we don't have enough of them.
And, I wonder, like you said, one thing you guys did do, away from the game, you guys were like a family. You guys stood together, so you knew what the other man was always thinking. These guys have being that everybody have their own podcast and media, and now that, you know, families, I've seen certain times where families have come in and kind of said something about the other player. Has that affected this whole Dallas Cowboy team also? Because at one time, CD family was going out the Dak Prescott, and it was just a whole back and forth when those two guys are supposed to be married at the hip. I don't know if we have that same type of chemistry between Dak and CD like we should have. And I wanted to have the family, the families speaking out has hurt that issue.
Well, you know, I'm like this, man. Michael Irvin has always treated my mother and father with great respect. Charles has went on his way to make sure my wives and family members have felt good, and I've always tried to do the same for them. But like Charles said, when everything is dictated through FaceTime, through the Facebook and through X, you know, you have no continuity there. Sorry to say that.
And so we're saying,
hey, when you got a locker room full of me, not we, it's all about me. You know, hey, at halftime you go on the on social media to see what people are saying about you. You know, you know, hey, there's no, you know, leadership matters. Leadership matters. And, you know, iron sharpens iron. Players got to police players. And when you don't have that, then it's imperative that you got a head coach or position coach that can be a leader. So I'm waiting to see how things work. You know, I'll give the guy a chance.
We got to.
Hey, it's the talent in the locker room, the attitude in the locker room that would dictate whether we win or lose.
Yes, sir.
And
right, but Nate, it's something you said, Nate. It's something you said that I don't want people to miss here. And you were absolutely right in mentioning. There was what we had was, and what they need is, it's got to be deeper than just a job.
Yes.
It has to be deeper than just a job and you're showing up. If I saw your mom, I saw your family, that was my family. Charles saw you, that, you know what I mean? If you're going to make it a family, it has to be a family. So when people come around, everybody feels that way. And we're in an individual world. That's the stuff that makes a difference. So now when I'm on the football field and I got to cover my boy, that ain't just my teammate. That's my friend. That's my boy. And you see what I mean? It's my family. That's different. And you play harder that way. Those are the things I think they got to work on, coming otherwise.
But what, like you say, they got to work on. What were some of the things that y'all team did that helped you guys build that team camaraderie to where, like you
the
said,
the greatest thing for us is Tony. We ran the race together. When we got here, we were doing a 1-15 and 3-13. So we got it going. We understood. We were all here on that 3-13. So nobody gets funky when we get up that ladder. And we got Charles at the right time. At the right time, you know, because we needed him to get us over that next hump to become a championship team. We had grew the team to a great place, but Charles took us to the championship. And then he gave us the confidence. When we went there that first time, Charles said, I'm a busted dude ass up. I'm like, this damn thing, nobody had us going to win that game. Charles told all of us all week, you wait till I get back there. I'm a busted dude up, you know.
Yeah. So
we were like, if he's scared, we got to, hey, let's go. We got to block that. We got to play that. Nobody expected us to win that game.
But, and Mike, You talk about that with Charles. Thomas, do me a favor. Play that Charles Haley clip and play it from the beginning all the way through. Because I want people to hear exactly what Mike is speaking about, that I was able to pull the sound bite for that. And this is how this team was built. Can you play that for me?
I like to thank some of my teammates. Tony Tolbert, right, Tolbert? Leon Lett, Darren Woodson, Russell Maryland, Michael, Troy, and Emmett, Ronnie, Joe, and Jerry, E-Wright, KT, and God, Mike Katara. Guys, I am truly blessed, guys. I've played with some of the greatest players ever in the history of football, and I've learned a lot. And the one thing that I learned from all these guys is unselfish play. Team matters. We need to go back to that. It's not about individuals, it's about team. That's the only way we can have success. Well.
Hey, listen, man. Listen, when I heard that, this is another part of that. That's the beginning when he was with the Cowboys. And to speak about how you guys in the locker room, the attitude, everything. And then to see, Charles, that, you know, you took everything, was able to make it to the Hall of Fame. And that was the beginning of your Hall of Fame speech. But it's just, you guys had that tenacity, that dog in you, that you guys wanted to win. I don't know if these guys, I think money has superseded their ability to win. I don't know if they, I think they're just, to me, it seems like a lot of them are just out there. And if we win, we win. If we don't, oh, well, we'll get back to practice next week and we'll try it again. You guys didn't have that. And my biggest thing I see with a lot of guys nowadays, and I don't know how you do this, exchanging jerseys after that, I don't want to exchange a jersey with someone that just beat me. They spend more time prepping with jerseys than they do prepping to win football games.
I got a question for you. And I want one of y'all to answer this for me. What is Dan Quinn's superpower?
I think it's relatability is one of the superpowers. When he said he can communicate. He used rap music. He used rap music to explain to these guys that saying, "I'm with you. I'm with you." Yes. That's what I believe is a superpower.
Yes. Same here.
You are 100% right, Mike. I would go in his office and, hey, the dude got soul music on the whole time, man. He's a down-to-earth guy, and he's able to relate to these guys and get the best out of them. You don't have to raise his voice, jump around. Hey, he knows how to do it. And that's what the superpower comes from in this generation. I'm not gonna compare what me, Michael, Nate, and Emmett, all of us did back then, because this is not the league anymore. They have put so many rules in the game that you cannot be physical or violent anymore as a defensive player. So you cannot judge them for that.
Yes.
So the league is making this game like a video game, and on videos, all people want to do is score.
Correct.
They minimize running backs. Running backs, they don't, you know what? They rather get a guy off the street or something and hope that he makes it, because it's all about passing now. So, you got one or two things Jerry got to do. Either build the offensive line to protect Dak, or put receivers out there that he can get the ball out of his hand quicker with. And then on defense, man, you get a group of men that's willing to fight, that's hungry and thirst for victory.
And Tony, the money is an issue. It always will be an issue. But Philadelphia finds a way. Kansas City finds a way. Detroit has started to build that way. The Steelers have always known it. The Ravens have always known it. The teams that win consistently has scouts and people in position to find out and to dig a little deeper. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't nobody love money like these two dudes you got on the phone. Charles Hayden, Michael Hurt. Talking about a dollar? They'll make a dollar holler, boy, and cut a penny four ways. Yeah, money always going to be an issue. But it's guys still love this. Now,
yes,
Michael Irvin ain't never known Mike not to make a dollar. I ain't never known Charles.
I ain't got no problem with a man making his money.
Yeah,
no problem with a man.
Yes,
people love the game. There's some guys out there that still love the game. You just got to make sure you know who they talk to. Their trainers, talk to their moms, their sisters, talk to their best friends, and find out who they really are. Don't just go to the, and depending on the college coach. College coach don't know nothing these days.
You know the greatest thing is winning a Super Bowl and have all the players around the league kiss your ass because you just won it. That's the best feeling in the world.
Yes.
Bow down. They bow down to the ring.
That's right.
Yes. That they do. Like you said, a moment, and I get it from Dion. When Dion said how could you compare a moment to a monument? And these are some of the things that, like I said, that the Dallas Cowboys are trying. I'm hoping that these guys are understanding when they see you guys around that they understand that we got a whole, we hold this star to a greatest degree. And because, you know, we get beat up as fans of the game. We get beat up every time we, if we go out, whether win or lose, everybody's out because it's two type of love that you get with the Dallas Cowboys. You love them or you love to hate them. And I tell people that's a plus. Either way you put the word love in, you're going to love the mixture of what you're getting. But we got to, like I said, our players, they got to, I think they, I'm hoping this experiment worked from the start with Brian. I'm hoping Brian is able to bring, communicate with Dak a lot more and get Dak and put him in a position for him to take his game and get that Super Bowl that everybody is saying that that he can't get over the hump and get. But Mike, now, and now there's rumor has it too, Mike and Nate, that if Shador drops out of the top, if Shador drops out of that top 10, if so happened he drops out of that top 10, do, is there a slight chance, do you think, that we would dib and dab and
No. That is too dangerous of a fire to bring Shador up in here to think that we would, if this kid dropped to the Dallas Cowboys, let the Cowboys are let him ride because Dak would not, you talking about an instant hot seat. Now it could, if this was back when we played, good. Yes. This is a different era. This is a different era. You gave Dak of $170 some million guaranteed. That means that guarantee Shador gets stunted in his growth.
Correct.
That's guaranteed because he's gonna have to sit. Mr. Jones ain't finna give up that type of. Mike, talk to your boy. Talk to your boy, Mike.
Hey, listen,
would be dangerous.
Yeah,
there's no doubt. That would be dangerous. Now that would be, and it'll be a clear sign to that. That it's time to move.
Yeah.
But to the Shador thing, because everybody talking about him dropping, because there's guys out here saying, oh, well, he is, you know, his comps is a Kirk Cousins or Sam Donald or Andy Dalton.
Come on, man.
Let me tell y'all something.
Shador Bethlehem,
let me tell you what they're saying. They're saying his arm isn't the strongest and he can't run. I say to that, Eli Manning's arm wasn't that strong and he couldn't run. He could say, let's run. But Eli Manning was the first pick. And you know why? All those other guys that they mentioned, it's an unfair comparison. You want to use Eli Manning, I'll take that comparison. You see, Kirk Cousins, Sam Donald, Andy Dalton, they don't live with the pressure. But Eli Manning did because of his dad and his brother.
Correct.
Shador Sanders did because of his dad. And in this game, it's about what kind of relationship you have with pressure. Tom Brady really can't out-throw and certainly can't outrun nobody. But he got it. He got all them championships. You know why? I was telling Nate this yesterday. Because Tom Brady, he understands to win championships, he has to have a special relationship with pressure. And Tom Brady has had that relationship with pressure. He's made love, he eats, sleep, he boo-boo.
He's talking about the pressure that he loves footballs, or
he was over there.
Hey, Mike, are you talking about the pressure that he was letting the air out the ball?
Hey, hey! What's say? Which pressure? He was trying to make sure that the pressure in the ball was at the right pressure for him to throw it. But Mike, when we talk about the pressure that is being thrown at Shador Sanders, is that more? Do you think that's more because of his father and people are there? This is their now. Some of their considered their get back. At Deion by saying, hey, he's going to fall or do a lot any of teams don't kid. Want to deal with it.
Yeah, any other kid coming up the route that he's come up, they would be calling him, what a great kid, what a great fighter, all of the right things they would have been saying. So,
yes.
So, you know, that's the only thing that bothers me.
Cam Ward is the same guy at Shador.
Yes.
Cam Ward started at a small school, went to another school. Now this is his third school. That is the comparable guy. And then you talking about Cam Ward was a fourth round pick. If it came out, right, it'd have been a fourth round pick last year. They talked him in the stand. Now he's a first round pick and possibly a top five pick. Shadua has done nothing but prove the critics wrong. And if you're gonna judge this kid off of Deion Sanders, you might as well make him the first round pick, like Mike said, because he's been living under pressure all his life. So if you're just gonna go by all these stats that you're trying to create, the kid improved his touchdown interception ratio, had the best ever, almost set a college record with percentages, and you're trying to find reasons not to draft the kid as a top five. Man, the NFL, they need to check themselves. We know what a football player looks like. And if he fails, he ain't did nothing no more than what Sam Donald has been given 8,000 chances and still did the same thing in the NFC Championship game through 9 interceptions. Come on, man. Stop with this foolishness. That man is just due. Forget about Deion and look at the player.
And that's what, you know, that's what I was telling some guys the other day. I said, when I got a chance to look at him, sideline view, and I got a chance to look at Cam Ward, sideline view. There was, when I was looking at both of them, looking at decision making, I'm looking at how they processed the game, you pretty much had a mirror that you was looking in when you was looking at both of them. And I got a chance to see some other quarterbacks. And when you're talking about some of the other quarterbacks that they're saying out here that is on it, that's not equal to them, or that, because they're saying Cam Ward is here, and then there is the rest of the quarterbacks. I looked at Cam Ward and I looked at Shadur, and I'm looking at two guys that are equal to each other when it came to what I see decision making, processing the game, galvanizing their team to win. So I'm curious to how he gets ready to possibly drop out of the top 10. They're saying if Cleveland doesn't take him, he drops out of that top 10. And now we look at what's after that, it's going to be tough. And they're saying possibly the Pittsburgh Steelers if he drops out of that top 10.
I'm just saying this right here.
Shakir, his own problem is his dad. They don't see him, they see his dad.
Yes.
And they judging him by his dad. His dad is a Hall of Famer. Hey, so they trying to judge everything that he does by the standards that his dad has set. And, hey, that shadow of Deion is long. And Shadur is trying his best to get from under it, but that damn shadow is long. And Deion is unforgiving. You know, he's going to be as straight with you. And people don't like a lot of time when players tell them, you know, guess what? This is what I am. This is what I believe. You know,
correct.
They want to make you mold you. They want to make you mold you. You can't say. You can't make Charles Haley. You can't mold Charles Haley. My mom and dad did that. Hey, and you know what? And they did a damn good job because they told me, you know what? If you want something, take it.
Yes.
You want that job, take it. And nobody, hey, and you'll never give it back. If somebody give you the job, hey, they can take it from you. So that's always been my attitude. When I walked out on the field, when I walked out of practice, I'm coming out there, hey, and I'm taking it.
Correct. That was, like I say, that's the motto I grew up on. No one's going to give anything to you. You have to go and take it.
Tony, I got to say this right quick, Mike. When you went like 30 minutes ago, you asked what made y'all a team, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to give you a prime example of what made us a team. When Charles Haley came to us, he came up to me and said, Big Newt, look here. He ain't even saying it as nice as I'm saying. You know, when we look at you on film, your first four or five games, you look like an all-pro. But as the season goes, you don't play as well. You don't look like the guy we saw the first six games. That's because you get out of shape. You're in football shape, but you're not in supreme shape. And Charles made me come over there 3 days a week. And him and Tony Tobel worked with me the whole year. And I made five straight runs at the Pro Bowl when it meant something back in the day. And that's because Charles worked out with me 3 days a week. Tony Tobel worked out with me 3 days a week and made sure I stayed in shape. And I made a run of like five straight Pro Bowls and a couple of All Pros. And that's what teamwork does. That's, you don't let a guy fall to the wayside who you feel that is better than that. If you see something in a guy, you invest in a guy. And that's correct. Why we're going to always take up for ours. We're going to look out for ours because they looked out for us.
That's, hey guys, and I'm telling you.
Before you finish, the one thing that you need to, when you listen to guys we play with, they always think of another guy for that success because we knew we couldn't do it by ourselves.
Correct.
Every player. I would never get stand in front of any damn body and say, Charles Haley did it. I had 10 more guys out there with me falling, having knee surgery, shoulder surgery, back surgery. Hey, falling. Because we were one voice.
One sound. Guys, hey, due to the fact of time, I enjoyed the show, man. God, dog, I wish we could still take this over. I gotta leave off. The show is gonna be closing out in about a minute. Nate, I want to give me who you think the Cowboys will pick before we close out as that number 12 pick.
So I really don't know. I really don't know because they have too many holes, and I wish it was the offensive lineman. But you can't go wrong with a wide receiver, and you can't go wrong with a cornerback. I just think that. I just really believe that.
Mike, give me yours.
I tell you what I want. I want somebody to come in and bring some kind of excitement, and that's only going to come in the form of a Genty or a T. Satoria. I don't know how to pronounce his name. McMillan, one of those big time. And if I'm gonna get a receiver, I go T. McMillan because I want a big receiver. I want one of those area code receivers because we already have C.D. Lamb who can patrol the middle, but sometimes. When things are double down on CD and pressure gets in that face, I want him to be able to throw a five route and a four route or that bang eight. Like Charles Haley said, we know the route to get there. I need a big guy to go and get it.
Guys, thank you, guys. We're closing off here. Hey, man, thanks, Charles. Thanks, Nate. Herb, thanks, man, for taking time out your busy days to join the show, man. As always, it's a beauty to be able to chop it up, talk with you, especially when it comes to the Cowboys, because this is Cowboy News is news every day. Everybody lives each morning to hear talk shows talk about the Dallas Cowboys, and you couldn't get a better listening audience when it comes to the Cowboys when they talk about Hall of Famers. We have them here on this show, man. Thank you guys for taking your time out, for joining the show, my brothers.
You. Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Fellas, see you next Wednesday, Charles, at the Gamble.